Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIE3 at checkout.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Data from a laptop reported to belong to Biden could be crucial to the investigatory process. CBS News has obtained its data.
Coming to the party a little late, aren't you?
This is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
This is a Russian intelligence disinformation campaign.
It's a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
The Hunter Biden laptop story, the laptop from hell, is not really about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden. And it's about the fact that all these tens of millions of dollars have compromised him.
That's what makes the big guy the big guy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
For close to four decades, Dr. Fauci has always led with the science.
What have I told you about crossing the line from science fact to science fiction?
So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, rightly or wrongly, what I've done, I gave it all I got.
I have come to say goodbye. So remember me.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Our cheap bastard deal did go fast. We're sold out of Western Razor Company's High Noon safety razors. The cheap bastard deal, $60 deal for $30. But if you want to get one of these are great razors and they're great Christmas gifts. Go to westernrazor.com/Howie. And if you use at checkout code Howie10, you'll get 10% off. And it's a great, great product. And I think whoever you give it to will really enjoy it this holiday season. 844-500-4242. A report came out recently from the Association of American Medical Colleges. They handle the accreditation of medical schools in the U.S. along with the AMA, the American Medical Association. And they're cataloging the extent to which diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, have infected the institutions training future physicians. I'm reading now from a column by Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, and he's the former associate dean of curriculum at the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine. He's the chairman of Do No Harm. And these stories have been, I read this column last week in the New York Post, med schools are even more woke than you think and your care is at risk. But they're all over these stories are all over the place now. Free front page mag, the next generation of doctors will be diverse, woke, and incompetent. Free Beacon report reveals just how much the DEI complex has infiltrated medical education. So I wanted to talk to Dr. Goldfarb about what's going on here, and this is pretty ominous, I think, for all of us who plan to be living into the near or long-term future, because who's going to be treating us? Dr. Goldfarb, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me.
Should I and all my listeners be worried about this?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the answer to that is yes. You know, right now, I think it's just really gathering steam. After the George Floyd incident, murder, killing, American medical education sort of got self-radicalized. And now they're going full bore. They're pushing diversity at the expense of almost anything else. And they're going to be recruiting students that are, sort of good enough. That's kind of the mentality. They're good enough to get through. They're going to pass the exams, and therefore it's good enough. And we're going to have a more diverse healthcare workforce, and that's going to be adequate for the American people. The problem is it may or may not be adequate, and I suspect that it will be less than adequate, and I think that by not recruiting the best and the brightest that are available, we're putting American patients at risk, frankly.
Yeah, you know, you say good enough. I mean, I was thinking about this. You know, if you're going to work in the human resources department, good enough is good enough for me. But, you know, when you're operating on me, or when you're flying an airplane that I'm on, or my friends and loved ones are on, I mean, I want the best. I think everybody wants the best, don't they, Doctor?
Yeah, I think so. But again, when you decide that diversity is more important than anything else, and that has become the mentality, then you're willing to sacrifice quality for diversity. You're willing to sacrifice merit for diversity. And that's never been the case in medical school. You know, there have always been many more applicants than there were places in medical schools in America. And that continues to be the case. So if students are going to be accepted based on their skin color, frankly, and the fact that they did okay in college, and without necessarily even having to take the achievement test for medical school, then I think we're running the risk of compromising the quality of healthcare. There's no way around that. And it may be 10% of the class, it may be 15% of the class. The goal has been to get the same number of minorities as exist in the
population, the general population. Yeah. We're talking to Dr. Stanley Goldfarb. He's a former associate dean of curriculum at the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine. Okay. We're going to just see if he's still there or not. And but you know, this is not just happening in medical school. You know, you may have seen that Harvard and Yale are dropping out of the U.S. News and World Report rankings. They're also talking, all these elite law schools are talking about dropping the LSATs. And so thanks for being back with us, Dr. Goldfarb. I mean, this is not just in medical school, though, isn't it? I mean, this is all these elite professional schools. Like I was just mentioning, the Ivy League law schools are dropping the LSATs. I mean, no one likes LSATs or any kind of standardized test, SATs, whatever. But, you know, you have to have some kind of benchmark as to whether or not students can do the work. Don't you?
This idea of doing away with the MCAT, the Medical College Achievement Test, is a particular problem. Because unlike many fields, medicine is very much an academic pursuit. It's almost like every patient that comes in is a test. They come in and you have to figure out what's wrong with them. You have to run through data in your mind, and you have to then plan how you're going to treat them. It's like answering a multiple choice question. So it turns out in medical education, the individuals who do well on these exams tend to be the most accomplished students, and they
Right.
tend to be the best residents and the best physicians. So the idea that these exams don't matter, I think, is a very, very false notion in terms of identifying the most qualified medical students.
Are people already being turned away that would normally be admitted to medical schools because of these new standards or lack of standards? Are you talking to people who are being turned down? What are they doing?
Oh,
are they going out of the country to go to like the Guatemalan School of Medicine, or what are they doing?
Yes, they do that. They often take a year off and reapply, and sometimes they just never get in. Sometimes they'll go to osteopathic school, which isn't quite as competitive as allopathic medical schools. And at the end of the day, you're sacrificing quality. There's no way around that.
Is there anything that can be done? I know that these transgender operations on children, basically mutilation of genitalia, they're being stopped by legislatures or just by public pressure. I mean, is there any way to do the same thing with these this degradation of medical school standards?
Yes, our organization, Do No Harm, as you mentioned, we're pushing very hard for legislation. So, we can't tell schools who to take in, but we can say that they ought to make sure that every student that enters medical school has passed the MCAT exam, and that they ought to report the qualifications that they require for students to enter medical school to the public. you know, state schools particularly, I think the public has a right to know they're funding them through taxpayer dollars, and they ought to be transparent about who they're taking in. And I think, you know, when the public, once the public knows something, they may be able to push back. We're pushing through legislation that would ask medical schools to, or require medical schools to publish this information.
I saw today that the New York Times is saying that Ohio is no longer a swing state. It's now a red state. But yet, you know, Ohio State Medical School is going in the opposite direction. They've declared racism a public health crisis in Columbus, Ohio. What the hell does that mean? Do the voters of Ohio State, not to mention everybody who lives in Ohio, know what the medical school is doing, paid for with public taxpayer dollars?
No, well, that's one of our missions, is to make sure people understand what's really going on here. And, you know, I lived in medical education for a long time, and I saw this coming further and further because, again, the notion is that, you know, and it all goes back to the idea that the reason black patients have worse health outcomes, which they do as a group, compared to white patients, is because doctors are mistreating them through biased activities, and that the solution to that is to have more black physicians. That's kind of the rationale for all this. That's one rationale. The other rationale is that there are many people, particularly progressives, think that diversity is such a value in and of itself that it trumps virtually everything else that one has to consider in putting together a medical school class. So, you know, I think these two ideas are false ideas. Black patients don't need to go to black doctors, and white patients don't need to go to white doctors. You need to go to the best doctor available.
I agree.
And the idea that you're not going to compromise quality by going into by having diversity is the main object of your medical school admissions policies is foolish. Obviously, it's got to compromise quality. If you have an Asian student who's the most brilliant student, and you're not going to take them in because you have too many Asian students, and you're going to take in a black student or a Hispanic student because you've decided that you need three more of those, obviously you're going to compromise quality.
Right. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have any black doctors, because look at Dr. Ben Carson. He was the best in his field,
sure,
you know, before he got into politics.
And that's a very important point, because there are a lot of brilliant black students that now their achievements get downgraded because it's thought that, you know, they're only there because of their skin color, not because of their academic achievements.
It's not fair to them.
Not fair to them.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, where can people go if they want to learn more about your organization, Do No Harm?
Yeah, so it's Do No Harm Medicine, one word, two M's, donoharmmedicine.org is the website, and we have lots of information there, and we like people to join. We're a membership organization, a not-for-profit. We're not interested in their donations. If they want to donate, that's fine. We're interested in their membership and being able to give them a voice if they're concerned about these issues.
All right, Dr. Goldfarb, thanks for being with us, and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll tweet out his column from the New York Post. Med schools are even more woke than you think, and your care is at risk. We'll tweet that out right now. 844-500-4242. Biden is still the president. The red wave not happening was not what the stock market was expecting or hoping for. The pre-election rally in equities may be over. Cryptocurrency is in a meltdown, as you've seen the last couple of weeks since the midterms. These are all the more reasons for you to protect your assets with tangible assets, as they're called. In times of political crisis like this one we're in now, historically, investors have turned to precious metals. You need to think about doing the same. Gold and silver. Monetary gold makes the process easy. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold going as high as $5,000 per ounce. A network analyst predicts $15,000 in 3 years. Monetary gold has a new guide available. The title is 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Also included is the nation's number one most requested asset protection guide for more than 20 years. Inside, you will learn the one secret investment of the top 1% and how to protect your retirement from a runaway spend and tax federal government like the one we have now. To order your guide today, call 1-800-267-6500. That's 1-800-267-6500. Monetary Gold is rated a top five with the Better Business Bureau for 22 years running, as well as with Consumer Affairs and Retirement Living. My listeners who open a qualified account now will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To find out more, call 1-800-267-6500. That's 1-800-267-6500, 1-800-267-6500, or go to monetarygold.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Knock it off with them negative waves. Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change?
Howie Carr. He's always been a role model to the Jimmy Olsons in the city room.
This is a dog's life, kid. Keep out of it.
Yeah, but you get around and you see things.
Oh, you see things. I guess you believe all you hear on the radio. Huh?
He's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows. I wear their slippers. I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code word Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who really killed JFK on November 22nd, 1963? Organized crime, Fidel Castro slash the communists, CIA slash the deep state, LBJ, or Lee Harvey Oswald?
I'm voting for the mob.
28% say organized crime, 48% say the CIA deep state, and 16% say Lee Harvey.
All right. How many did LBJ get?
5%, just ahead of Fidel and the communists.
Those are the Roger Stone fans of the listening to the Howie Carr Show. That's his theory, that it was LBJ. 844-500-4242. It appears from all accounts that LBJ was on his way out. He was about to be outed as a totally as the totally corrupt politician that he was, and JFK was talking about replacing him on the ticket in 64 with the governor of North Carolina, Terry Sanford. But I don't know that he had it. I don't think he really killed JFK. I think it was the mob. There's all these FBI wiretaps, gypsy wires, as they called them back then, talking about killing him, including Santo Traficante, who was angry about the Bay of Pigs and losing his casinos that he owned with Meyer Lansky in Havana, et cetera, et cetera. And he actually talked about him getting hit. He said it. It's on tape, or it's not. It was reported in FBI files that he said this. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Rick, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, I just want to bring up a comment about, as the last professional that was on speaking, we're up here in Maine, and the Maine Medical Center, which is the biggest hospital in the state,
right,
is requiring all their employees to change their language so they don't address parents as Mr. and Mrs. or Mom and Dad, and they, you know, they said in this
what Rick, what are you? What are they supposed to address them as? You
pronouns, instead of Mr. and Mrs. Like your parents, or it's just ridiculous. They have a whole list of things that, you know, their employees have to accommodate.
Yeah.
And
have you, do you have to list your pronouns? I was just thinking about something. I make calls occasionally to UMass, the University of Massachusetts, and I get back emails, and everybody has their listed pronouns. You know? I mean,
right.
I'm not asking. Don't do it on my account. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rick. It's just so unnecessary. It's so divisive, I think. Not inclusive, divisive. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. That's the number if you'd like to join us here this afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone as you head off to wherever you're heading for the holiday. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And we're getting complaints now about the poll question, that we didn't put in enough options for people. Someone wants friendly fire from the Secret Service agents in the car behind JFK and Jacqueline and Governor Conley from Texas. But, you know, the thing is, those agents were moving a little slowly that day. You know why? Because Jack Ruby had provided them with a really nice spread of strippers and high-end bonded bourbon, et cetera, at his strip club the night before. So I'm going to, if JFK was hit by, and Conley and all of them were hit by friendly fire, I'm going to put that down as a mob hit, because Jack Ruby was definitely a member of organized crime. And you know, and then someone says, "Well, the mob and the CIA are the same. Were the same thing since World War II." Well, you know what? I'm not really. They had different reasons, though. And if you want to read about all these wiretaps that the FBI had in the months leading up to JFK's assassination, you can find them in Howie Carr's. That's me, Kennedy Babylon, Volume 1. I put them all together there. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in there. They were talking about picking him off in from a high rise in Miami, when he went down to speak at George Smathers fundraiser, and in Chicago, some of Sam Giancana's guys were talking about punishing the Kennedys by whacking some of the members of the Rat Pack. One guy wanted to put out. He said, "I'll take Sammy Davis Jr. and put out his other eye." You know, they got that all on tape. It was all on tape. It's crazy stuff. And just check it out. And actually, a lot of these things were delivered to the Kennedys by J. Edgar Hoover in December of 1961. Showing that the mob thought they were double-crossed by the Kennedys, especially the ones in Chicago, Giancana, the outfit, because they stole the election for him, and they thought they weren't getting a good return on their dollar. And they gave this to the Kennedys, to Bobby Kennedy, and the Attorney General, and JFK. And apparently, it's thought that they passed it on to their father, Joe Kennedy, because a few days after the Kennedy boys, the rich kids, the college boys, got this stuff, Joe Kennedy keeled over and had a stroke and never spoke again. Lived for another 8 years, but all he could say was one word: "No! No!" But he was the guy the mob always went through, because he was a gangster like they were. And they, you know, they couldn't deal with the college boys. It's very strange. It's a strange story. I mean, it's really... The whole JFK assassination is just really interesting. People don't pay as much attention to it now, but I think that's when things really started coming apart. And the reason we're talking about it today is the 59th anniversary, November 22nd, 1963. I think that's when everything changed in America, and not for the better, not for the better. It's a totally different country, and a much weaker country, and a much less united country than it was on November 22nd, 1963. 844-500-4242, 917. Ruby was a wannabe mobster. You know, you can say wannabe. He knew all those guys in Chicago, and he actually worked in Cuba in one of those casinos that Traficante and Lansky had. There's a lot of good stories about those days. And Smathers, George Smathers, gorgeous George Smathers, the senator from Florida, and JFK who, you know, was from the senator from Massachusetts, but he was really from Palm Beach. He spent more time in Palm Beach than he did in Massachusetts or New York, where the family lived in Bronxville. They used to go down to Havana when Batista ran it, and they would hang out in the high end brothels that Traficante and Lansky owned, and they later bemoaned the fact that they used to watch the two senators with the hookers behind two way mirrors, and they always said, you know, we would never had any of these problems with Bobby Kennedy if we had just set up a camera and taken pictures of him. And you know what? They're probably right. None of this stuff would have happened because they wouldn't have needed to get rid of him. That's my theory, though. I mean, you can say Castro said, you know, they keep trying to kill me. Two can play at this game. He said that to American reporters about 6 months before the assassination. And Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist. But it's very interesting stuff. If you haven't read up on it, it's worth checking out. Just, you know, not just for American history's sake, but just it's very interesting reading. And don't just go to the movie JFK by Oliver Stone. It starts out strong, but it goes off the tracks fairly quickly. 844-500-4242, 978. Lyndon Bain of our existence, Johnson, was the beginning of the downfall of this country and with his great society. I don't disagree, but, you know, they didn't want to put him on the ticket. But apparently there's other stories that LBJ was kept on the ticket or put on the ticket in 1960 because he had blackmail information about JFK that he had obtained from J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover's blackmail information against JFK went back to World War II when he was when JFK was an ensign and he was shagging a woman who was thought to be a Nazi spy. And J. Edgar Hoover got recordings of him in bed in Charleston, South Carolina, where JFK was undergoing naval training in the 1942 time period. Anyway, you can vote in our poll, HowieCarrShow.com, and vote in the poll who you think really killed JFK. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. What's up?
Hey, what's up? How you going? Listen, I want to know if Joe Biden remember the Kennedy. What happened in 1962? You remember?
Oh. Does he remember? Well, he remembered Kennedy enough to steal some of his speeches when he was running for president the first time in 1987. But he probably doesn't remember 1987 any more than he remembers November 22nd, 1963 at this point, Mr. Garcia.
I want to ask you another question. The new Congress, how many wino in Congress? Because Tom Kaine Jr., he won in New Jersey, but
right.
His father would hate Trump. He hate him.
Right.
He hate
right.
him.
And like Chrissy Whitman or Chris Christie. New Jersey Republicans don't seem to, or the ones that get elected statewide or to Congress don't seem to like Donald Trump very much. Why is that, Mr. Garcia?
What happened that always New Jersey had weak Republican. Everywhere you go, we had too much weak Republican.
Uh-oh. Looks like T-Bone is committing another senseless street crime there, Mr. Garcia.
Yeah. And happy gobble gobble, and hopefully your family well, and happy, and Taylor and Grace, everybody happy Turkey Day, and gobble
happy
gobble
happy
for you.
Thanksgiving to you too, Mr. Garcia, and give Dutch some nice gravy and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. 844. 500-4242. Scott, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Scott.
Good afternoon, Howie. Love the show.
Thank you.
I think you left one important. You left one important name off that list of potential shooters, and it would be George Hickey. Now, the book
George
Mortal
Hickey.
Era, I know it. That was George Hickey. He didn't write the book, but he was the Secret Service agent. that was.
Oh, this is the this is the guy who may have shot Kennedy when he was because he was hung over and he didn't know what he was doing.
Well, the car lurched. The AR-15, which became the M-16, didn't go into military service until 1 year after the Kennedy assassination. So it was a very new weapon to a lot of people. Very powerful, very high-velocity weapon. And if you read all the accounts and you watch a documentary, you know, there's no doubt that Oswald was up there, whether the CIA put, CIA put him up there or the mob put him up there. He got off two shots, and they both ended up in the limo. And one went through a street crosswalk sign or a traffic light sign, and ended up in the limo, and whatever damage that may have done, but it's just a freak accident. There's no other way to explain it. If you watch, well,
you know, the thing is, Scott, I don't know how many people are into this like you and I are, but you know, you look at the Zapruder film. What about that shot that comes the shot that kills JFK comes from the front? It sure looks like it comes from the front, and I know they've come up with all sorts of convoluted explanations that when it hits your spine or something, that your head goes back even though it's coming from the other direction. But it looks to me like the shot came from the grassy knoll, Scott.
No,
and that wouldn't
no,
be from a Secret Service agent.
What's
no,
that
you don't. You don't believe? I think the shot came from the grassy knoll.
I don't think it did. I don't think it did. The amount of damage, a hunting rifle round would not have done that much damage. And the way it came from, you can be shot. It's like whiplash. You hit something, and then all of a sudden you snap back. And that's exactly what happened. And it's tragic. Like I said, I don't think
you sound like Arlen Specter now.
Yeah.
The magic bullet theory. I don't know, Scott. Well, I guess we'll never know at this point. But I would recommend to anybody who has, if you're ever in Dallas for any reason, you have a couple of hours and you want to go somewhere, I would go to the Texas School Book Depository. That's where they've got the museum, and it's one of the best museums I've ever been to. I think I remember more about being there than I do in the British Museum in London, or it's close anyway. You know, it's just there's a lot of great stuff in there. By the way, Taylor, who did you vote for in the poll?
Organized crime.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe urging of the CIA, but definitely organized crime.
Right. Yeah, the CIA and the mob did work together, or what became the CIA and the mob worked together on the waterfront in New York back during World War II. They cooperated after World War II, no doubt about it. But I think they had different reasons for wanting to get rid of JFK. There were a lot of people wanted to get rid of him.
We also forgot in the poll question Ted Cruz's father.
Yeah, that's right.
Who also happened to be the Zodiac killer, as we all know.
Yeah. Well, when Trump said that Ted Cruz's father was one of the killers, that was one of the grassy knoll bums, right, along with E. Howard Hunt, who later was involved in the Watergate break-in and also wrote some decent potboiler novels in the 1950s, including the book House Dick, just a book I read recently a couple of years ago. Anyway, thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. There's nothing worse than the mall in the months leading up to the holidays. 12 children screaming, 11 minutes to find parking, 10 Karens Karening. The list goes on. Right now, you can shop early, skip the stress, and snag some of the best deals of the season on something everyone will love. Premium audio products from Raycon. Raycon's wireless earbuds, headphones, and speakers offer premium sound, useful features, and an almost custom comfortable fit, and up to 54 hours of battery life. Perhaps most important, they start at half the price of other premium audio brands. Plus, Raycon makes gifting easy with the holiday gift guides for everyone in your life, mom, dad, coworker, kid, fitness lover, etc., etc. Or knock out the list all at once and get 30% off by shopping Raycon's holiday bundles. Everybody needs a pair of Raycons in their ears, whether it's for listening to music, taking work calls, or blasting a workout playlist or listening to true crime podcasts. You can get great podcasts about the Kennedy assassination.
I use them every day in my car, my travel to work and home, my radio Bluetooth is busted, so I just pop in my Raycons, and it's a much more pleasurable listening experience than I would have had any other way.
Right, and the music that you get on the radio is not as good as it used to be. So if you like music, I mean, Raycons are a great alternative, especially as you get older and the music you enjoyed as a young person, you can't get on the radio anymore. I've switched over to the Rolling Stones this week. Today I was listening to Let It Bleed. What a great album. Midnight Rambler, Live With Me, You Got the Silver. Oh, these are great songs. You forget how great these songs are until you have some Raycon earbuds and you're just listening to them. And you're not bothering anybody else. No one's going to say, turn that down, Gramps. They're going to just let you go. They're going to let you have fun. You can find Raycon in stores now like Kohl's or Walmart, but let me tell you, you're always going to get your best deal when you use my special link. buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. The Raycon website also offers buy now, pay later options. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/Howie and use code EARLYBF to get 20% off site-wide. Or save even bigger and get 30% off Raycon's exclusive holiday bundles. That's code EARLYBF at buyraycon.com/Howie for 20% off your Raycon purchase. buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
I subscribe to the law of contrary public opinion. If everyone thinks one thing, then I say bet the other way.
Howie Carr.
We're not just going to let you walk out of here.
Who is we, sucker?
Smith and Wesson and me.
The Howie Carr Show.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
781 says, give me a break. Everyone knows Oswald's bullet hit JFK in the back. It exited his throat, did a U-turn, turned right, then left, hit Connolly, then did another U-turn and created the fatal head wound. The government told me, so it has to be what happened. That's a little off, but that's a variation. I've told this story before, but you know, they had the taping system in the Oval Office with Jack Kennedy put it in, and LBJ kept it in, and then Nixon put it in, kept it in. It cost Nixon his presidency. But when the Warren Report came out, they put all these guys on that were going to agree with whatever J. Edgar Hoover said, and it was all these Republican people who were compromised in one way or another, including Gerald Ford, or Democrats who were in the satchel. So the one guy who wouldn't sign it was Senator Richard Russell, who'd served in the Senate with LBJ. And so LBJ called him in and said, you got to sign the damn thing, Richard. We can't have anybody not willing to sign it. And Senator Russell, who'd been in since the 30s, segregationist, said, Lyndon, I don't believe it. And LBJ said, well, I don't believe it either. But you still got to sign it. And he signed it. I mean, LBJ didn't believe the Warren Commission report. Why should you or I believe it? Doug, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I've been to the Grassy Knoll twice on two different occasions after reading your book and others. And, you know, it's just crazy. If you're going to be in the school book depository, the car is coming right at you and practically stops before it makes that turn. Why would anybody wait until you're shooting in the back of them if there wasn't a second shooter coming from the other direction?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's a really impossible shot, and that wasn't the best rifle in the world either, you know? And I guess he was a marksman, a sharpshooter, but still, it's really a world-class act of shooting if he did it. I don't buy it. It's the only you just got to be up there because you could be right where he was. And, you know, the foliage has grown up a lot since then, so you don't see the same you don't have the same view that Lee Harvey Oswald did 59 years ago. But it's really worth seeing. And you can see the suit that the Dallas police detective was wearing when he was escorting Lee Harvey Oswald down, and Jack Ruby shot him. It's just it's really a great take. I can't recommend that museum highly enough. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.